Some call it ANC New Dawn faction versus the proponents of state capture. Some call it the cleanup faction versus the fight back faction. Some, such as advocate Moses Skakane, call it ANC factional gang wars. But we don't have a name for it. But the big question is, can South Africans trust the ANC to root out corruption within its ranks following resolutions taken at its most recent National Executive Committee meeting? Guess only time will tell. My name is Mawanda Mashabalala, a political journalist at the Sunday Times. Welcome to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly Podcast.
Man, this aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the DBS bank loot?
The problem is that pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whitening.
Order!
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a ship.
Can you please come
on the point
in?
Of order.
As always, I'm not alone. I'm joined today by my colleagues, Sunday Times political editor Sibonga Konke Shoba and political journalist Apiwe de Klerk. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Greetings.
Thank you for having us.
The African National Congress, Africa's governing party since 1994, this past weekend held an NEC meeting, which was mainly dominated by discussions on the scourge of corruption in the ANC-led government. This follows media reports about the ANC comrades, their family members and business friends helping themselves to personal protective equipment tenders worth hundreds of millions of rands in the fight against the COVID-19 pandemic. From President Cyril Ramaphosa's spokesperson Kusela Digo's husband, reportedly having unduly benefited from a multi-million rand tender from Gauteng provincial government, to a dead man, yes indeed, a dead man, scoring a PPE tender in the Eastern Cape, and most recently, Northern Cape Premier Zamani Saul has been embroiled in a PPE tender scandal after his advisor's wife and his friend also benefited. These are but some of the prominent reports regarding the PPE tender scandals in the past few weeks. Now, let's hear what the ANC-NEC meeting resolved about dealing with corruption within the ANC and its government.
The NEC reaffirmed the position taken at its meeting of 31st July to 2nd August in 2020, that the ANC needs to draw a line in the sand between the organization and those who steal from the people. The NEC agreed on decisive action that needs to be taken to tackle corruption within our own ranks as the ANC and across society. In this regard, the meeting received a report from the National Working Committee on the work undertaken to collate information on the individuals within the ANC who are facing charges of corruption or other serious crimes. The NEC welcomed the report and actions being taken at various levels and resolved that these actions must be completed as a matter of urgency. This must be accompanied by public accountability. The NEC agreed that this will be a turning point in the fight against corruption and accordingly decided on the following. The NEC endorsed the contents of President Ramaphosa's letter to ANC members of 23rd August as a clear articulation of the policies and positions of the organization and agreed to the implementation of the points of action contained therein. The NEC emphasized that what seems to be a choreographed campaign against the president will not distract the movement from undertaking an intensified program against corruption and state capture as mandated by the 54th National Conference. In this regard, we will also work with other sectors of society and the broader population to confront the scourge of corruption. It also decided that cadres of the movement who are formally charged for corruption or other serious crimes must immediately step aside from all leadership positions in the ANC, in legislatures or other government structures, pending the finalization of their cases.
That is ANC President Cyril Ramaphosa during a post-NEC media briefing on Monday. Now, Mr. Shoba, is this a man willing and able to once and for all deal with the corruption cancer within the ANC and the government that it leads?
It's a case of better late than never. We've all been calling on him to show that he's in charge of the ruling party, and many articles have been written, many such conversations have taken place in radio, in television, even on this platform. We've been saying that he must really show that he's the leader of the ANC. And as I said earlier, it's a case of better late than never. I don't think he has a choice, because it's obvious that the public is increasingly losing faith in his party's willingness to deal with corruption. They are even doubting whether he's even capable of doing so. So it was, he really had no choice but to act and show leadership. Whether it will root out corruption completely within the ruling party, I seriously doubt that we can, we are going to witness an immediate change in how people in the ANC operate in terms of corruption and the allegations. I think we're going to continue seeing allegations being leveled against leaders of the ANC. But it's a good start, provided a short-term and a long-term solution. The short-term solution, because it will immediately deal with people who are only charged. If you have allegations against you and there is no court case, it means that you are not affected by this decision for now. But for someone who is charged, for example, like ANC MP Bongani Bongo, it means that he must step aside from his position, both in parliament and within the ANC. Zandile Gumede has to step aside in KwaZulu-Natal. Mark Mabuyakulu has to step aside as the deputy chairperson of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal. It also has long-term implications, because this means that other ANC leaders who have allegations against them, who have not been charged, as soon as they are charged, this decision immediately applies to them as well.
Now, Mr. de Klerk, and this Mr. de Klerk is not related to FWD, so that I just become clear to our listeners. Mr. de Klerk, this resolution, this is not the first time the ANC is talking about being bold in the fight against corruption. In fact, in all its national conferences and policy conferences since 1994, ever since they came into power in terms of the state, they've been talking about this cancer of corruption in each of every of their conferences and several of their NEC meetings. Someone would ask, what's so different about this particular resolution of this NEC this time around?
I think what's different now versus you are taking us back to 94, it seemed as if the party felt that its hands are tied insofar as someone who is not convicted. You see what I mean? They didn't have, as Shoba is saying, a sort of an internal party solution to people who have been tainted by corruption. So as long as you have not been found guilty of anything, even then, as long as you are still pursuing the matter in court, it could take up to, even when you get to the Concord, at that time, you would see the example of the former leader in the Northern Cape, Mr. John Block, that he was seen as a comrade up until the last day. If you look at the example of Tony Yengeni, for instance, they carried him on their shoulders to jail. That's the posture that they had in dealing with corruption then. Mm. So if you had processes like this, you would have people distancing themselves and not having a party embarrassing itself in that manner. So this time around, at least there is some form of structure to say, okay, these are the processes that you are going to be taken through. Although I completely disagree with this thing of stepping aside. It's quite a bogus arrangement, so to use your phrase.
Yeah.
I remember the last time it was used, it was against Marius Fransman.
Yes.
And it was used completely in a manner that is fiction. I'm not saying Marius was right or wrong.
Yes.
I'm saying because the faction that he was in at the time and the province where he's from, it assisted no one to boldly defend him. So with other people, maybe they will react differently.
Mm-hmm.
So this issue of saying you step aside doesn't sit well with me. If someone has to resign, they must resign. But the other issue I have, or the other point I would make, maybe should be an advice to them, is that when an allegation is made, you are able to interrogate an allegation, even if someone is not charged. When there is a newspaper article that says, this is what so-and-so did, A, B, C, and D, and as journalists in this country, we are very good at holding them accountable. They can go through our stories and say, but these are the allegations. Never mind whether or not you have replied to them in the Sunday Times, but reply to us so that we can satisfy ourselves that based on the facts that are in front of us, should you not step aside even if before you are charged, if you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what also came out in the Monday briefing is that much as the NEC of the ANC took this strong stance against ANC cadres facing corruption charges and other serious criminal charges having to step aside, and not all seem to agree with this stance entirely. I mean, that is at least if what ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule had to say on this resolution on Monday.
What President has also said is that there are labor laws in South Africa, there is a constitution, the rule of law, the law of natural justice, and the National Executive Committee does not express any guilt or innocence on anybody because people are presumed innocent until found guilty by a competent court of law. That's what the South African Constitution says. And the ANC is part of that South African body politics, and the constitution of the country is supreme. But the ANC has its own processes, and that's why President has outlined those processes in terms of us moving forward. In fact, on corruption, President, we said we have to fight it very hard, but we must fight the corrupter, the corruptee, and the facilitator of corruption. That's what we should actually try and start doing as the African National Congress.
Now, gentlemen, what exactly should we read from this statement by Mr. Magashule? I mean, especially in light that his name in particular has come out several times in the State Capture Commission of Inquiry, which I cover a lot. I mean, most recently, for instance, there was a businessman who benefited big time during his time, Mr. Magashule, that is, as premier in the Free State, in the eradication of asbestos roofs project there by that government. And it came out there that there was a person who was recorded in a spreadsheet as AM, which are the initials of Mr. Ace Magashule, to have benefited from a kickback along other officials of the Department of Human Settlements. And you hear him talking in this manner as regards, you know, all this talk about constitution, innocent until proven guilty, which takes us back to what appear you say that used to be the ANC approach. It seems like Ace Magashule is on that position, that it can be. What can we read from this, Mr. Sharp?
What we can read from this is that Magashule and his backers are obviously opposed to the NDC decision. They are opposed to the NDC decision to say people like Zandile Dumede and Bongani Bongo must step aside merely because they've been charged. What Magashule is trying to provide a legal argument to a political problem, which doesn't work.
Hmm.
It doesn't hold water. Because this decision is dealing with the ethical issue that the ANC must take a principled stance against corruption. And a principled stance does not require a court to make a verdict or a judgment on a particular individual.
Hmm.
It's an ethical stance. It's about distancing the party from the allegations of corruption. As the President spoke about drawing the line, exactly about that. It's about saying that can't hide behind the ANC, and the ANC can't protect people who are being accused of corruption. So it tells you that his supporters are opposed to the decision, and it shows you that the President in that meeting had his way, did his groundwork. He wrote that letter a week before to set the tone for the meeting and to prepare his forces for the meeting, and he was giving a marching line. And that marching line, he also gave the same marching line when he opened the meeting with the political overview.
Mm-hmm.
As we understand it, in his overview, he quoted again and again from his letter, which shows that he had taken a decision that now we are drawing the line in the sand. We are saying we are distancing the party from this. And Makashule's tells you that he and his supporters were actually defeated in the.
Now, besides this corruption talk, I mean, the bigger war, of course, appeal that is going on here is one for the control of the party. I mean, it has culminated in the form of letters. There's been letters that have been flying all over the show from last week. I mean, really, this all came into sharp focus last week after these attempts to corner the ANC president, Mr. Ramaphosa, emerged in the build-up to the ANC meeting. It really all started with former ANC Youth League leader Andy Lelungisa writing a letter calling for Ramaphosa to be subjected to the party's integrity commission for the CR17 campaign funding. I mean, while we were still looking at that, it was former President Jacob Zuma, a known ally of Lungisa, who joined the bandwagon with a scathing letter against President Ramaphosa. I mean, contents of which were, of course, identical to the letter of Lungisa. In fact, earlier than that, there had been calls for President Cyril Ramaphosa by another party, the ATM. We know that there's still controversy around the formation of the ATM and the role that could have been played by a certain faction within the ANC. And then, I mean, at the National Working Committee meeting, I mean, which was a precursor to the NSC meeting, there was this stalwart or long-serving NSC member, Tony Engen, who also used the same CR17 funding controversy to advance an argument that, in fact, President Ramaphosa must lead by example and resign because of the CR17 funding. Here is how ANC National Chairperson Kwede Mandashe summed up all these events.
The reason that this letter became to look suspicious is that it follows on a letter by Andy Lungisa, it follows another letter by other groups, and another thing. So it looks like a choreographed attack on the president. And we have a responsibility to actually kill a choreographed attack on the president because he is the leader of the organization.
Abim, what's going on here, man?
we must not forget the Maharani meeting. Eh?
Yeah.
So when you're saying it's choreographed,
yes.
In fact, you didn't include my good friend Adile Mutama,
yes,
on laying charges in the build up as well.
Yes.
It seemed that way.
Yes.
But you see, you must look at it. There was a big fight post, well, if you want to call it a fight, post that NEC meeting. You would have seen a number of leaders of the ANC who are pro Cyril Ramaphosa as well, saying, in fact, it is correct that as the party, we must be disgusted by corruption, this and this, the likes of Zizi Kodwa were coming out, and them. So you could see it, that there was no way you were going to go to this meeting without that the other faction caucusing and mounting an attack. Seemingly they got defeated, but it does look like really the Maharani resolutions were being implemented last week.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Shoma, with these Maharani resolutions being implemented in this form, you know, we see that the Nasrec fever or sour grapes for others haven't really. They haven't been able to digest them properly. Is this their defeat in this NEC meeting the last that we can expect, or shall we expect a more mounted attacks on the leadership of President Ramaphosa going forward from the other faction that is mainly led by the former President Jacob Zuma?
I think the gloves are off, Mawande. I think from now on we should expect more of what we saw last week. Because the faction lost at the NEC meeting, it does not mean that they will just give in that easy. You know, Joel Netshitenze said a long time ago that this faction won't go down without a fight.
Mm.
And they are going to have a very strong fight. And you can tell from last week that they are ready for this fight. You can tell from the letter from Andy Lelungisa, the letter from the former president, comments by NEC member Tony Engin at the NWC meeting. You can tell that they are ready for the fight.
Mm.
But unfortunately for them, in structures that matter within the ANC, they are really outnumbered. In the NWC, they are outnumbered. Tony Engeni raised the proposal about the president possibly leading by example, and no one supported him in that meeting. As we know that Kwede Mandashe didn't start speaking out against this issue at the press briefing. He started at the NWC meeting. That's when he said that defended the president and said, you can't vote for the president to resign at this particular time. And in the end, NEC We know they put up a fight and they were defeated because that grouping is outnumbered. But they will not give up without a fight. We saw Andy Lelungisa supporting his own press briefing to say that the people who want him out are actually the ones who are looting. And we can expect more of such going forward.
Now, over and above this resolution that ANC leaders who have been charged with corruption and other serious crime must step aside, the same NEC meeting further affirmed that leaders facing serious allegations, which may not necessarily be charged in terms of the laws of the country, but are alleged to have been involved in wrongdoing, which brings into question the integrity of the organization, must avail themselves for questioning by the party's integrity commission. But the challenge here, Apiwe, is that there's already questions over the credibility of the integrity commission. I mean, more so it's confusing handling of cases such as the case of ANC Deputy President David Mabuza, who believes still today, as he said Monday, that he was cleared by the Integrity Commission, which is saying the exact opposite. But here is Didi Mabuza in his own words.
So I made my presentation to the Integrity Commission. Of course, with some discomfort in the process at which they have arrived in their own decision, and the very fact that in the process I was never called. According to them, I was not supposed to be called. I was supposed to present myself. I think we discussed that and we found one another. And then I left. Went back to the officials, then the Integrity Commission wrote their own report about all the engagement with the heads, all the comrades that presented themselves before them, seeking to say, these comrades can proceed and be do their work in the different legislatures. That was presented to the NEC. It's in that regard that I was allowed to go back to Parliament. I've never insisted to go back. I was prepared to go the extra mile, deal with the all the issues that are raised by the Integrity Commission.
Now, Apiwe, clearly something is wrong with the Integrity Commission. In fact, I mean, I remember we had a conversation just before coming in here about what has led to what Didi Mabuza is saying, in that at the beginning there was never a communication that was sent out that said Didi Mabuza and all those comrades that had gone to the Integrity Commission at the time had been cleared, but all we knew was Didi Mabuza said he's postponing his swearing in, he's going in to answer to the allegations, all his Mpumalanga ghosts that continue to follow him to date. And then the next thing, the following day, the guy was being sworn in without any clear communication, but also for the Integrity Commission to then a year later come out and say we never cleared this guy. Seriously, I don't think that is a manner of doing things. So there are those questions about the Integrity Commission appeal, and it has been operating with inconsistencies since its formation in Mangaung, the ANC conference. We remember at one time the former president Jacob Zuma was told to also step down and he flatly refused, and there was no consequences for that. Now, shall the ANC appeal, continue with an Integrity Commission that is, first, not its constitutional structure, secondly, it issues findings that can just be ignored willy-nilly?
I agree with you the way you characterize this thing between the ANC, NEC, the commission, and especially with the situation with Deputy President. It seemed like a good idea at that time, because they have a disciplinary structure, mm-hmm. that is there alongside the commission.
Mm-hmm.
Hence my point earlier on, that they should have had it as a resolution properly, that when you have allegations like you were reading from the resolutions, that those who are not charged and whatnot, they must go to the Integrity Commission. Then you must have a proper structured or written document that says this is how the Integrity Commission operates. It can call anyone, or anyone can be sent to it, mm-hmm. and it must satisfy itself on this basis, A, B, C, and D, at least, so mm-hmm. that the party can say, okay, even though there are these allegations, we stand by so-and-so, because our own internal process, this is what it arrived to. Now, when that internal process, both the deputy president of the country and maybe its chairperson are saying two different things. It's a report that said, but no, this man was never cleared. In fact, in their report we wrote about, it says, we immediately wrote a letter to the NEC to say, but we don't know anything about clearing the deputy president. He came, spoke to us, and sort of made a presentation, mm-hmm. and that was it. We mm-hmm. never interrogated him on anything. So I don't know. That's the part of these resolutions that just seem to me that they will be tough on other people and on maybe they won't. Or rather, the leadership of the party will insist that with other people, they must follow the recommendations of the Integrity Commission. With others, they just keep quiet like nothing happened, which is exactly what happened with the deputy president, which is quite odd when you then say, this is the structure you're going to use to deal with corruption or to deal with how your party has been viewed. Like in other cases, if you would compare with here in Gauteng as a province, on how they dealt with people who have been accused with VBS, for instance. Mm-hmm. Yes, they've been asked to resign from their position.
And they refused.
They refused. But you see, now it's a report that has been endorsed by the Provincial Executive Committee. Mm. That on the basis of the report, we agree with the report, please refuse. So from there, you can actually take on a formal process where you say, but we took a resolution that these people must resign on this basis. They are refusing to resign. They are appealing to this structure, but this is the case we are going to continue to make until such time as this leadership, we have seen it through. You don't see the same vigor when it comes to the National
Executive
Committee in those matters.
Yeah.
It seems they pick soft targets.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand why.
Yeah. In fact, Mr. Shoba, I mean, as your last bite, does this ANC Integrity Commission have the integrity to be viewed as a fair and independent platform in which all who appear before it can have confidence that it reached its conclusions without influence from any of the ANC factions?
The latest developments in terms of how the Integrity Commission had conducted itself, it really leaves you with a lot of questions about the kind of processes that they follow. If you take the issue of David Masondo, for an example, and someone who went to them because there were certain allegations against him, and they just went on and spoke about issues that are really, really not related to the issue that he had raised with them, and can only serve to dent the reputation of that structure. And many people may question their motives when it comes to issues. But I just want to wrap with this message to say that the outcome of the NEC, as much as it is welcomed, we know that it's not enough. It's not enough to ask people to step aside. People are accused of corruption, but you ask them to step aside and they continue to draw salaries from the state. But I think we must welcome it as a positive start, in a way that now there is some kind of willingness from the leadership of the ANC to do something whenever corruption allegations arise and when people get charged. But as the public, we must be vigilant in monitoring how these processes unfold. We should be vigilant in continuing to ask questions in order for us to prevent a situation where such processes are used to settle political scores or in a factional manner. And we must keep the government or the ANC leadership on its toes, and whenever corruption allegations are leveled against a leader, it doesn't matter which faction they belong in, and the ANC must be consistent in acting against those individuals, we must expect this resolution to be implemented without fear or faith.
Well, I mean, earlier on when I started the show, I of course asked the question if South Africans can have confidence in the ANC dealing with corruption. We hear now that most of this process will be handled by the national officials of the ANC. But I just have this to say around the officials of the ANC. There's President Cyril Ramaphosa, CR17 funding and sealed court documents continue to linger in the air. His deputy, David Mabuza, as I said earlier on, the ghost of his Mpumalanga days as a premier, that side continue to follow him to this day. There's no resolution in that regard. National Chairperson Gwere Mantashe appeared in the evidence at the state capture about Bosasa. There's issues of the multi-million rand tender scandal in the Eastern Cape where his family benefited. ANC SG, Ace Magashule, asbestos project in the Free State, Estina, and lots of other issues in the Free State. His deputy, Jesse Duarte, previously I have personally written about the association of his former husband and his son with the Guptas. The less I say about Paul Mashatile, the better. But I'm not the judge. Let you, the public, be the judge. Unfortunately, gentlemen, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much, colleagues, the political editor of the Sunday Times, Bongakonke Shoba, and my colleague as a political journalist, Apiwe de Klerk. You can continue to engage with us on social media platforms with the hashtag ST Politics Weekly. You can get our podcast on Iona.fm and all other platforms where you get your podcasts. I am Mawande Mashabalala. Danke siyabonga.